Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone, and welcome to this Friday Eve holiday weekend. It is Halloween. I guess I should be playing Thriller to lead us into the weekend. What's going on, everyone? This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And, of course, it is Thursday. That can only mean one thing. We're coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco for Cigars with the Cave Show. 4991 South Alma School. So we get more into that in a little bit. But like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Big Money Ed Cole will be joining us very shortly. We had a lot of topics to go through today. We'll talk World Series. Justin Turner. Whose fault was it? When he was on the field, whose fault was it? I have my thoughts. I will share them with you. The Cardinals are on a bye week. I want to just touch a couple things. We got into them pretty good on Monday and Tuesday. So may leave them alone, but I just want to touch on them. College, Wisconsin, they have issues. Nebraska, they're whiners. White Sox hire La Russa. As a White Sox fan, I don't like it. I'll explain why. Edelman is out. Will it make a difference? And then tonight, we've got a barn burner. Thursday night football. Cancel every plan you have because Atlanta is playing Carolina. Matt Ryan against Teddy Two Gloves. Should be a very interesting football game. Wink, wink. Like I said, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us on this Cigar Thursday as we come to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. 4991 Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get your butt on down here. Check them out. One of the best selections of sticks you're going to find, period. If you can't make it down here, don't even worry about it. You can go to Stogie World, S-T-O-H-G-I. Go online, order your sticks. You get them ordered quick enough, they'll go out the same day. Great selection. I'll tell you what I got for myself today. I got the Ferro stick, and I got a Leaf by Oscar. So those are my suggestions for you for today. Tomorrow, give me something else. It could be a JFR. It could be a Perdomo. Either way, I could come down here and get them at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco and check it out. You can become a member. Get your access to the members. A lounge back there. It is great. Couches, chairs, TVs. They have the league passes for everything. If you're not watching football here, that's on you. I'm letting you know. So get on down here, like I said, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, let them know PLR sent you. They'll hook you up 10% off your cigar purchase. So let's get into it. I'm going to start out with what hurt my feelings the most. So yes, as the young kid said, I'm all up in my feelings on this one. My White Sox, they've decided to hire Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa, one, is 76 years old. The White Sox are a young team. This is the same Tony La Russa that doesn't really care for young players. This is a non-analytic guy, which actually on that one, I'm kind of with him. But he also doesn't like fun anymore. So I'm trying to figure out how Tim Anderson, who will say just about anything, meshes with the Tony La Russa. Now, the White Sox are reaching back way back, 34 years after they fired the guy, to try to bring back those old loving feelings. And I don't see it. When they said they were going to go out and they were going to find a guy with playoff championship know how to win in a playoff type medal. Believe it or not, and this is where I know I'll hear some noise, I thought it was going to be AJ Hinch. Coming off suspension from that whole fiasco down in Houston, but the dude can flat out manage. And of course, the White Sox are filling their folklore. And unless you remember, he was fired 34 years ago. So unless you're my age, you don't even remember him managing the White Sox. And we're going to go back 34 years later. Let me ask you this question. If you broke up with your girlfriend at 16, do you want her back at 60? And that's what the White Sox basically just did. And I don't understand that. He is not a guy that manages well with people that have opinions with this new era of player. And the White Sox have a whole new era of young players, and they bring him back. And their quote is, "We are extremely excited about the future of this team." As we showed in 2020, this is a young, talented club that we expect to only grow better and better in the coming years, adding a Hall of Fame manager who is recognized as being one of the best in the history of the game. We are a step closer to our goal of bringing the White Sox fans another championship. No, you're not. Maybe they forget what happened here in Arizona when he took over baseball duties. They didn't do too well. Players didn't really vibe with La Russa, and he wasn't even the everyday manager. So this is me saying I hope they do well, because I do. And I know that's the homer in me talking, and I'm fine with that, but I just don't see how this shakes down. And when you just look at the fact, look, if you can do the job, you can do the job. But the man is 76 years old. They said Dusty was too old to manage the Astros, and he's 71. I don't know. He is the oldest person to take over a team since McKeon took over the Marlins at the age of 80. And if I'm losing my gray hair demographics, I apologize to you, but I just don't see this. I'm going to touch on a little bit of other baseball right now. I want to give a big thumbs up to Tampa Bay for what they did in the World Series. And I know we touched on this earlier, but I want to go over it again because we're going to talk Justin Turner when Ed Cole comes on. Kevin Cash, let me explain something to you about analytics. It's something that Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni, I hope, learned when they were in Houston. Analytics are a tool to help you. It should not be what guides you. Blake Snell was cruising. Dodger batters couldn't touch him. I don't care what your analytical sheet said. You don't go get that guy. You allow him to keep pitching. All you had to do to know that you messed up was look at Mookie Betts' face when you took him out. There was a sigh of relief. Dude had 73 pitches. 73 pitches. And you went and got him. I know this isn't the 60s, but I know this. If you went out to the mound with Bob Gibson and told him analytics say it's time for me to pull you out, he'd throw you off his mound. You wouldn't go get Randy Johnson if he was dealing and only had 73 pitches. You wouldn't go get Pedro Martinez. Get this guy because analytics told you that the third time around, he would naturally be tired and his balls would start to look the same. His pitches would start to look. Sorry about that, folks. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. You don't bring that guy out. You don't bring Blake Snell out. That's asinine, idiotic, and just plain stupid. Analytics are what you use to tell you what's trending. Your eyes tell you what's happening. That's the difference. We're going to talk more about this. I got Ed Cole online. We're going to jump out, take this commercial real quick, be right back, and we're going to jump right back in. We're going to get his opinion on analytics, Kevin Cash, Blake Snell, and what the hell was Justin Turner and Major League Baseball thinking. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. 1 minute and 30 seconds away.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday, brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you ever miss any parts of this show, we have a replay. Plays every day at 3 o'clock over on KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. Download the app from the Apple app, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. You also can check us out by clicking on the sportscave.com and hitting that Listen Live button. We come to you live every day, 1 o'clock. Catch us on BTR, like I said, and KSRN as well. But if you go to sportscave.com, hit that Listen Live button, it routes you right there. If for any reason, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, let's say it's 9 o'clock at night, you go to sportscave.com, hit that Listen Live button, and a plethora of our shows will pop up. Pick one you like, pick one you didn't hear. Get caught up. You shouldn't be behind because you should be listening anyway. But do all that there, as well as on the website, some of our favorite shows, some of our favorite interviews. On the website, left-hand side, you can download from there as well. All that's done at sportscave.com. Right now, on the Kerry Lackey Law line, on this Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday, from Maduro's, the one, the only, the Washington football team's former digital media director, sports personality in the Valley, Inside Sports, and he's been on every single talk show that you can imagine in this valley and in this country, the one and only Ed Cole, my brother. Welcome.
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me on again.
What's going on? Man, you know how we do this.
Everything's going on, isn't it?
Before you hopped on, and again, to the listeners, I apologize. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but magic was worked. We were only down for about a minute, so work fast. But before you hopped on, I was talking about Kevin Cash, and I was saying how I know I'm not the biggest analytic guy. I know that. So maybe I'm biased going in. But you had Blake Snell dealing. 73 pitches. He was dealing. And your sheet told you to go get him, so you went and got him. What the hell was that, Ed Cole?
That had to have been all front office because, I mean, from a visual, from an eye standpoint, Kevin Cash had to have seen what we all were seeing, that Blake Snell was absolutely working the Dodgers. Like you said, 73 pitches. He had 48 strikes, struck out 9 and 5 in the third innings. Yes, he gave up that hit to Austin Barnes in the bottom of the sixth inning, but he was still rolling, Paul. That was only the second hit he had given up at the time. So he still had plenty of gas in the tank, and you can see by the camera angles and by the shots of Blake Snell that he was not happy. And I wouldn't have been happy either if I was Blake Snell, that Kevin Cash, my manager, came and pulled me out. But that had to have been an upper management decision. Could not have been a Kevin Cash decision, because he's the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. He knows his guys better than the front office does, because he's with them in those trenches every single day, and he had to have seen that Blake was rolling, and there was no reason to bring him out, but that had to have come from above his head. And of course, he's not going to defy what's coming from the front office. So that's probably why the decision was made to bring out Blake Snell. And then as I saw, as millions of people around the world saw, how things just went in a total nosedive after that. You know, Nick Anderson, yes, he had a great year. He had a great year. And Kevin Cash said, well, at the point he thought that Blake Snell had given him all that he had seen, and he didn't want to see him go through that lineup a third time. That's why he brought in Nick Anderson. But I don't agree with that. I wish Blake Snell would have stayed out there, because things could have changed. They thought what the front office thought that Blake Snell might not have been able to do. Blake Snell probably could have turned it around and he could have gotten three outs in that sixth inning, and things would have changed, and maybe he would have went into the seventh inning or later. But of course, we'll never know, because they made that preemptive strike to pull him out. And I'm watching the video now on ESPN. Blake, his facial expression, he was just like, no, are you serious? I had more in the tank. And they talked to him afterwards in the press conference. He was like, yeah, I have total confidence and belief in myself and my abilities and my talents. And he knew he had more in the tank to give. But it'll never come to be, because they pulled him out too early.
Well, not only that, but here's my problem with that whole situation. If the front office wants to do the manager's job, don't hire a manager.
Then won't sit up in the front. Yes.
Sit up in the front office, and then when you're ready for a pitch and change, just set a little ding, and then that way the pitcher knows they can have a little beeper on their way, and when they get that ding, they know just to walk out. Because if you take away the position of the manager, you may as well just put beepers on everybody. That's asinine. And that's what I know Charles Barkley said it, and I don't want to demean it, and I don't want to make fun of people to the extent that he did, but you can't use Harvard and Yale logic with everything. People are playing the sport. This isn't Madden or The Show or 2K. These are people, and you have to be able to use analytics as a guide. But you can't, if your eyes are telling you that hit by Barnes was a soft hit. That wasn't a rocket off the bat. It didn't look like they had finally figured him out. That was a weak hit. So why do we have a manager? And then you know what? I go back to this with managers. If you're the manager of the team, I'm going to be as polite as I can. Grow some balls. If they tell you this is when you go get him, and you go, you know what? Nah. I'm manager of this team. This guy is rolling. I'm leaving him in. You have to be able to stand up and be able to do that. So I don't just take all the blame off of Kevin Cash. He has to be able to say, no, I'm the one on the field. I saw he was rolling. If I'm wrong, I take the heat. If I'm right, we play game seven. He has to have some of that, right? Doesn't he? A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. But in the heat of the moment, it's in the sixth inning. You've got a one-run lead. You're trying to cling on for dear life to push a game seven. Just imagine all the different things that's going through Kevin Cash's mind at that time. Like, oh my gosh, you know, we had all these different chances to get to all these other scoring opportunities throughout the game, and we only have a one-run lead on the Dodgers. We know how dangerous they are and what they can do at the drop of a hat, which we saw at the bottom of the sixth. Once Snell came out, then they touched up Nick Anderson, and it just went south from there. But man, it is so hard that he's got so much to juggle at one time. But yeah, I agree. Maybe he should have defied what came down from the front office and said, like you said, no, I believe that Blake Snell has what it takes to get us through this, and he should have went up to Blake and said, you know what, Blake, are you all right? Are you good? And he, of course, Blake would have said, yes, I'm good. I'm feeling it. And then he would have just left them in there and then let the chips fall where they may. And, I would hope it wouldn't have cost him his job if that was a situation where Kevin Cash would have flipped the script and kept Blake Snell in there. But, you know, be that as it may, if that's what it would have come to, then, hey, that's what it would have come to. But the players would have respected him more if that would have happened, if he would have said no to the front office and just kind of bucked this whole analytics thing. And said, no, I think that my guy is hot, and I'm going to leave him out there. Damn the numbers.
Let me ask you this question. What player in Major League Baseball would not want to play for Kevin Cash if he got fired because he looked at a front office, an analytical front office, and said, screw you, I'm rolling with my guy that I knew was hot, and I'm sticking with
sure.
him, and I'm the manager of the team, and they fired him. You tell me the Major League Baseball team that the next time he got a job, those players wouldn't be like, we're running through the wall for that guy.
You daggone right. Now, a team that would have loved, if that would have happened in the future, if this scenario would have happened, a team like the Chicago White Sox before they hired Tony La Russa, if they would have hired Kevin Cash, of course, you know.
I had a whole segment, and that already hurt my feelings. Yeah, that my feelings are already hurt. I'm all in my feelings. I'm Drake right now. I'm all up at him. I'm all up at him. Hired old butt Tony La Russa. Remember, I'm not a fan
over
of
A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora.
Over A.J. Hinch. Over we hired a 76-year-old dude. Ed, you missed it. I compared it to this. Would you go back? Let me say this one more time. I said it earlier. The girlfriend you broke up with at 16, do you want her at 60? No.
No.
No. That's what the White Sox did. Can you see Tim Anderson in the dugout with Tony La Russa? Tim Anderson said, I don't watch baseball because it's boring. Tim Anderson said, yeah, we know baseball is racist. Look around. And they put Tony La Russa to manage him? Come on, man. You see, I had got over that. I was fine.
Oh,
I had moved on to
bad.
The Dodgers.
Uh-oh.
And you bring
okay.
up her. You just well, came back and uh-oh. Ripped the Band-Aid off. I got over my feelings. Now I'm back in them again.
Oh, okay, my bad. Let's put some Neosporin on there and go back to the Dodgers.
Neosporin? Man, we don't put Neosporin. I'm from the city of Chicago. You better put some Bactine and alcohol in that thing. I know you remember Bactine. When your parents used to lie, you're going to say Bactine?
Yes.
Bactine don't burn. It ain't alcohol. Scorch the hell out your cuts on your arms. Tell you that nonsense.
Yes.
Bactine burns. Everyone who say Bactine didn't burn, that was a lie your parents told you, boy. Bactine don't burn. The hell it don't.
Yeah.
Then why am I screaming like this? listen, we have a caller. It looks like they're from L.A. on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. 917-889-7828. Do you mind if we squeeze them in while you're on with the Fed?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's go for it. You're on the Cave Show with PLR and the great Ed Cole.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's Tom.
Hey, Tom. Appreciate
you.
How are you? How are you today?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. It's nice to get a couple titles in. We were, I think you always kind of say, like, what is worse, being the person that's in, like, a 60-year drought or, like, being a team like the Lakers that was used to winning constantly and then all of a sudden you're the worst team in the league for 10 years? I think I'm not sure which one is worse, but it was definitely good to get a couple of titles. And then just commenting on what you guys were chatting about. I think to say he overmanaged that be an understatement. I think it's kind of a shame that moments like that are what's going to define him, in the sense that guy managed a team with a payroll of probably like 1/8 of all the teams. Like, you know, he beat the Yankees, who had a payroll that I don't know the exact numbers, but I have to imagine are 7 to 8x the Rays. He beat the Dodgers, who definitely have a payroll that are 7 to 8x. And I think what the big issue that you see sometimes is, I think you have to manage differently in the playoffs than in the regular season. And I think we see this time and time again with these heavy analytics teams, right? The Rockets, the Rays. These guys are so dead set on what it is they do that they don't take into account that when you are in the postseason, there are different emotions. It's very different taking on the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals than it is playing the Orlando Magic on a Tuesday in, you know, March. Like, and it's the same exact thing with the World Series, right? Like, just because you would have made a move in the middle of June to pull a pitcher doesn't mean in that particular situation, when you take everything into account, you're down 3-2 in a series. This guy is a Cy Young winner. You need a performance of a lifetime from this guy, and he's giving it to you. You have all the momentum. You have to say, all right, I understand that the numbers are telling me one thing, but the numbers aren't going to take into account the emotion of what is happening. And so I just think that there's nothing wrong with managing by analytics, especially in baseball, which is such an analytics-driven sport. But you have to bring in human-based knowledge and recognize, okay, the numbers are telling us this, but this doesn't make any sense, right? Like, what I'm doing right now doesn't make any sense. And I think it was an error, but I don't want it to diminish what an incredible job, you know, that manager did of getting them to where they were. But yeah, I mean, like, he deserves the kind of condemnation that he's getting. But I will say this: at the same time, I do not think the Rays were going to win that game 1-0. So it's also on the bats. Those bats need to give them more than a single run. I don't think that was going to be a 1-0 victory. So, you know, I think it is what it is.
I will tell you this: when you were saying seven times the salary, Mookie Betts could pay the Tampa Bay Rays, and they would all live just fine off of his salary. So
I'm just looking at their payroll numbers. Their payroll was less than $80 million, and the Dodgers about $180 million. So take that for what it's worth.
So not as big of a gap as I thought, but a massive gap nonetheless.
Yes,
it is. So
when their payroll is over twice, yeah.
I've got to ask you this before we let you go. Which title are you happier with, the Lakers or the Dodgers?
The Lakers for sure. One, I'm just a basketball fan, like through and through. And even though this pretty much exact same Dodgers team has been through so much for so many years, there was just something very different about the Lakers season. Like, I think that where people got it wrong is they kind of played out the Lakers to be like mercenaries. But actually, by the time that the season happened and was actually finished, they weren't really mercenaries because we'd basically been through a season and a half with these guys, right? We had the whole off-season drama. We had the first part of the season. Then the season gets basically canceled. It's off for 4 months. They come back. It was just like it was a much more, I think, emotional journey, whereas baseball, this just didn't, like, look, this is a real title, but it didn't feel like a real season, right? It was crammed into 60 games, and the playoffs started. Like, to be honest, I wasn't watching it that closely until the playoffs, just because, like, watching baseball with zero fans in the stands was kind of, like, off-putting to me. It was, like, the one sport where it really impacted the way I viewed it. So, like, the Lakers for sure, and I just think, like, I don't know. Like, with the Dodgers, they've been through a lot, but, like, Lakers fans, I feel like we get a bad rap for being, like, bandwagon homer jerks. But, like, we got piled on by the media and the internet for, like, 10 years. And, like, you know, it was very sweet. It was very sweet because the Lakers did it in the most Lakers way possible. They screwed up basically everything and then randomly signed James, who then, like, forced Anthony Davis to be traded to the team. Like, it was the most Lakers way ever to come back from being terrible. And, like, so in many ways, like, it kind of justifies, like, everything they were doing, even though, admittedly, like, they basically did everything wrong from 2011 onward. But, you know,
gotcha.
I guess the Celtics did everything right, and where are the Celtics now? So, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter.
That's a true Laker fan. Hey, Tom, listen. Don't be a stranger. Call anytime you want, okay, my friend?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you. We're going to step away. Got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. This is The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar. Enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Kofi, and I don't go a day without listening to The Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, this is Javon Carter with the Phoenix Suns, and I am in The Cave with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and today on the line, sports personality, the one only Ed Cole. Ed, what you know about that time playing the background with Morris Day singing Cool? What you know about that?
Man, what do you know about that? I was about to ask you that question.
Man, I will tell you this.
What I know about Morris Day. Man, please.
My home phone number used to be 777-9311. Don't play with me. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with the K, and the website, of course, is thesportscave.com. Cave is with the K, PLR on sports. Yeah, man, area code 312, phone number 777-9311. I gave that number out a lot. Didn't even hurt my feelings. Hey, listen, so back to the World Series. And let's jump on to the biggest elephant in the room there is. I think there's two things going on at the same time. We know Justin Turner tested positive. I think Major League Baseball screwed up. Once they found out, you get him out the dugout, you get him out the clubhouse, Major League Baseball escorts him to his car or to a car, and you take him to a hotel where he can quarantine. And now you're done. So since they didn't do that, now I've turned to Justin Turner. That was incredibly selfish. I know you want to be out there and celebrate. I know you worked hard. I know you did all those things. But that was selfish. That was a me move. Because if the Dodgers had lost that game, they couldn't have even played the World Series the next day. They would have all had to quarantine for a week. So I think you have two levels of wrong. The first one is Major League Baseball. Then the second one falls on Justin Turner.
Yep. I agree with that. As soon as that test came back positive and the Dodgers knew about it and Major League Baseball told them to pull Justin Turner off and Dave Roberts did that, you're right. They should have got him in a car and got him out of that stadium and this situation never would have happened. But no, they let him linger around there and then he deliberately disobeyed security and what everybody else told him to not come back out on the field for the celebration. And that was, like you said, so selfish and just stupid on his part to go out there with no mask. He had masks on at times, but when they took the team picture, he sat right next to Dave Roberts, who had no mask on. Justin Turner had no mask on. He brought his wife out there. He kissed his wife with no mask on. And it was just a completely selfish and asinine move by Justin Turner. He should have known better than that. But it was a screw-up, like you said, on Major League Baseball's part and on his part to say, I'm going to defy everybody right now, knowing I have tested positive for COVID, and I'm going to go out here. And it was just so stupid on everybody's part. And now it just put a complete black eye on the Los Angeles Dodgers championship and their celebration on the way things ended. Just a terrible way to end things.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not mad at the other players. They're all in the moment. What are they supposed to do? They're in their moment. So naturally, they're going to go with the flow and keep everything going. I just thought that was incredibly selfish, but it couldn't have even got to that point because, and let me ask you this question. You're a free agent. This is your free agent year now. You're no longer with the
Which team. Justin Turner is.
You've fought all this time to win a World Series. You finally got your World Series. All your teammates are celebrating. I'm going to ask you, do you have the discipline to not run out on that field and sit next to that trophy when you know you may not even be back with that team? I don't know. I'm going to tell the truth. I don't know if I would have that discipline. So because, speak honestly and say, I don't know if I have that discipline, Major League Baseball has to remove that person from that situation.
I agree. Who knows what any of us would have felt or if we were in Justin Turner's shoes that night, a couple nights ago, what we would have done because the emotions are just running so high after getting a championship. Like you said, that They were there three other times out of the last 4 years and did not win it. So for the fourth time in 5 years, they finally broke through. They got a championship. And you have no idea what's going through his mind and what's going through him as far as emotions and how he's feeling physically and just what's going through his mental state. And you're right. That's when somebody from Major League Baseball and someone from the Dodgers, from their upper management, has to be like, look, Justin, we know you want to be out there so bad and you've worked so hard for this, and you deserve this championship just as much as the rest of us in this organization, just as much as the city of Los Angeles and all of our fans do. But, dude, you've got to think big picture. You cannot go out there and risk everybody else's health, like the Tampa Bay Rays and everybody else that's out on the field. Everybody else's family members were out there, and it just wasn't the players. There were other people's family members. Wives and kids were out there on the field. And who knows who he may have infected. I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out over time, because it's going to take time for these symptoms to manifest inside of everybody that may have gotten it. God forbid, I hope nobody got it. But in time we will reveal who may have gotten it and who didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, looks like we have a good friend in the program calling. We got 4 minutes before we get to the next break. Do you mind if we bring him on here with us?
Of course.
I believe I know who this is, and I believe he's a Cowboys fan, and I believe he's in New Jersey. It has to be the one and only on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. It has to be Lou. What's up, my friend?
Ha, ha, ha. Thanks, Paul. Hello, Ed.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Lou. Long time no hear.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I'm kind of happy that, you know, the Dodgers won. I mean, you know, Kershaw, you know, finally got that ring. He finally got, you know, all the years he's been pitching. He's a dominant pitcher and whatnot. I'm glad he got it. I was thinking to go seven, but didn't.
Ed, I'll let you go after I say this. I know you probably have to. I've interviewed Kershaw on numerous occasions with them being in this division with the Diamondbacks, and that's just a good dude all the way around. So
I said
when this series started, I'll be perfectly honest, I said the Rays would win in seven because the Dodgers had to prove to me that they could actually do it before I believe it. But in saying that, I wanted Kershaw to show out on his two starts because I did not want them to point to him and say it's his fault. So I feel very good for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier for Clayton. He showed out in the World Series in his two games, 2-0, 2.65 ERA. So Clayton came to play in the World Series and helped them get those two victories, two of the four victories to get that championship. And, yes, I've interviewed him a couple times during spring training, one of the nicest guys you will ever get a chance to put a microphone in front of and talk to. Just a really, really great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he finally got his championship. And I'm happy for the Dodgers. First time in 32 years they got a championship. My dad, you know, rest his soul, he was a huge Dodgers fan. And every time they would come to Philadelphia or they would play the Mets, we would drive to Philadelphia or New York and see the Dodgers. So kind of a part of me actually loves the Dodgers because I grew up liking them because my dad loved them. So I'm really happy that the Dodgers got their championship, their seventh.
Was he a Brooklyn Dodgers fan too?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a Brooklyn fan, and then eventually when they moved to L.A., of course, he just completely loved them, too. So he loved them, so I love the Dodgers, too, because my hero loved them, and I love them, too.
There you go.
The last time they won, I was a senior in high school. Oh, boy.
Gosh.
I'm that old, yes.
I don't think I was born the last time they won a World Series.
What?
I wasn't born the last time they won a World Series. I'm building a jewel, of course.
Okay. Is it time for a break yet, Lou?
We got 4 minutes, so
we got another minute and a half.
Yeah, another minute and a half. What else you got for us, Lou?
Oh, boy. Well, it seems like the White Sox got a new manager as well.
There we go again.
Bad move, huh?
Not my fault this time, Paul. Not my fault, Paul.
No.
And I'll let you go. I'll let you tell Lou. I'm not talking about it anymore.
Yeah, Lou, he's so distraught because it's like you got AJ Hinch, you got Alex Cora, you got so many other great manager candidates out there, but they go with almost an 80-year-old Tony La Russa. Yeah. And you know that's completely a Reinsdorf. That's a Reinsdorf decision. I'm sure not many people with the White Sox organization wanted him back.
No. I mean, you got to figure 76 years old. I mean, how much does he got left in him? You know, baseball wise. I mean age wise.
Imagine
somebody younger.
And I saw some tweets from Jeff Passan. He was saying he's just wondering. He's hearing some stuff within the organization as to if Tony La Russa can connect with these younger players. If there's going to be a major disconnect because he's 76 and these guys are in their late 20s and early 30s. Is he going to be able to relate to these young kids?
No, I don't think so.
He's not.
No.
And Lou, I'm going to tell you something. You are a good friend of the show. If you weren't a good friend of the show, I would hit the quit button because I'm not talking to White Sox anymore at all. You hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry, man. Maybe I should have said Red Sox. No. Oh, boy.
Hey, buddy. Listen, Lou, I appreciate the call, my friend. Sorry we got to go to break, but I'm glad you got a chance to give a call in today.
Well done. And thank you, Ed, for taking the call.
You're welcome. Lou, I'll get Paul to put some more Bactine on. He's got to put some Bactine on that injury.
Ooh, that much, huh? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Until tomorrow. Go on.
All right, buddy.
All right, Lou.
Talk to you later. This is the Cave
Show.
Hey,
Paul, did you hear
PLR
that? Lou knew about Bactine.
He said he was in high school 34 years ago. You know damn well he knew about Bactine.
Yeah.
Everybody that age know about Bactine. We'll be right back. Cave Show with PLR. Special guest Ed Cole. This is Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR on this Friday Eve, coming to you live like we do every Thursday from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School. Get your butt down here. And I got to tell you, I'm online with this on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Today we have the world famous Ed Cole. Ed, in my hand right now, I am holding a StogieWorld.com lighter from Maduro's. So I've got a little bit of swag in my hand. So I think everyone should get down here and definitely check them out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great place, Maduro's. I remember all the great shows we used to do there back in the day. What a phenomenal place. I mean, it's just such a relaxed, comfortable feeling. So many TVs. They got TVs as far as the eye can see. It's just a great atmosphere. And why not go down there and see PLR do his show and get to meet the man, the living legend, Paul Richardson.
Oh, wow. I'll take that. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Here's the good thing about Maduro's. There's a lot of cigar places that you go in and you walk in and they just kind of give you that, hey, whatever. And then you walk to the humidor, and then you walk around like a zombie because you have no idea what cigar matches your style or your level of cigar smoking. It's not like you just walk in and you get, like, this full-body stogie that your great-great-grandfather would smoke. That'll take your lungs away. There are different cigars for the level of smoker that you are. And if you come into Maduro's, when you come in here, either Ron Harden, who's the owner, he'll take care of you. Tina's back there. She'll take care of you. They will get you matched up with the right cigar to match you because they want your cigar experience to be an experience, not a one-time, two puffs, this puff, and I'm out. They want you to come back. They want you to be here. And that's the one thing I absolutely love.
And even for a person like me who's never smoked a cigar and will never smoke one, like even when I come in there, they still treat you just like they would treat any other person. They treat you with respect, and they're like, hey, you know, come on in and still enjoy yourself. You know, we're not pressuring anybody to do anything they don't want to. So it's such a great feeling when you go in there. It's so comfortable. It's like your family, even though you're not, you know, you're not necessarily a smoker, but you still go in there and enjoy yourself.
Ed, we have one segment, and we've got three topics, and I guarantee you we're going to hit them all. And I'm going to start with college football, the NCAA, and I'm going to start with Wisconsin, and we're going to work our way over to Nebraska. The Wisconsin Badgers are falling to fault of the Big Ten to no fault of their own. They are not playing. Their quarterback is out with the devil. Their backup quarterback is out with the devil, COVID. And there's nothing they can do about it because the Big Ten made a 21-day policy that these kids can't come back and play. That sucks for Wisconsin, who's the number 9 team in the country.
Yeah, it does. It sucks. At least you got the 3 weeks, and then we'll talk about Nebraska. They had to replace their game. They had to replace a game. It's just tough when these kids are coming down with this virus, and you've got these rules in place that you can't go against. You can't buck the trend. You can't buck what the rules say. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like you said, they're the number 9 team in the country. That really kills their momentum. But that's the situation that they're in, and they're just going to have to live with it until they can get through it.
And when it comes to Nebraska, I have no sympathy for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And I'll be honest and tell you why. I have no sympathy with them because they should have never left the Big 12. They never should have left. They chased some bad – when you play dominoes, you know how sometimes they tell you not all money is good money? Now you're chasing bad money. Nebraska chased bad money. They had one of the greatest rivalries with Oklahoma, with Texas,
yep,
with Colorado, who chased money to go to the Pac-12. You went to the Big Ten. No one even remembers you in the Big Ten. Now you made a big stink and wanted to schedule games before everything happened. The Big Ten told you, no, we've paid you. Shut up. Go to your corner. Now this game gets canceled. You can schedule Tennessee Chattanooga. The Big Ten came back and told you again, no, you aren't playing. Shut up. Go to your corner. They have no one to blame but themselves. And if they were that mad at the Big Ten, they could always buy out and give money back, but they're not doing that. Instead, they're complaining. Paige DeMarcus is a dear friend of ours. You know what? For her old school, I have no sympathy for them. They should not be in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree. They should have never left the Big 12. Like you said, so many great rivalries. And, oh, my gosh, they were the class of that conference. And, like you said, they chased the big money, go to the Big Ten, and they don't really have anything to show for it ever since they left the Big 12. Just a bad decision as far as the program's concerned.
Their football team is very average. The basketball team will forever suck. Why would you join the Big Ten? The Big Ten, everyone wants to talk about the Big Ten. Let's be honest. Let me just be honest with everybody because that's what I do. I don't really care about feelings. If I hurt your feelings, like you told me, go put some vaccine on it. The Big Ten is not a football powerhouse. Ohio State is a football powerhouse, and they happen to play in the Big Ten. Wisconsin is a solid team. They challenge for a Rose Bowl, and they challenge you with 10 wins. Michigan, they've had some good years. They challenge for the Rose Bowl and for 10 wins. Ohio State every year challenges for a national title. Those other teams are good. They're not great. The Big Ten Football League isn't a great football league. It has a great football team and a great football tradition in the league. That doesn't make it great.
But that's clearly a basketball conference. You and I both know that.
Plain as day. I'm not an SEC fan. I've made that known. But Alabama is a national powerhouse year in, year out. Florida,
yep,
generally, is a good program year in, year out. These teams, even if Alabama isn't competing for a national title, which hasn't happened since Saban has been there, there's another SEC team every year that steps up and competes for one. In the Big Ten, if Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten, no one else is competing for a title. They're the title. They're carrying the border for the rest of the conference.
Right. I mean, Penn State's a good football. Penn State is a really good football program, but are they contending for national championships? Nope. Like you said, Michigan's a really good football program.
Indiana?
Yeah.
Anyway, honestly, Nebraska, guess what? You ordered it, now you got to eat it. You ever go to a friend's house and their mom starts to fix their plate and they get more and they put it on the plate and the mom says, you know, you ain't going to eat all that food. And they go, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And then they eat like half of it. They go, I'm full. And their mother look at them and say, uh-uh, you ain't getting
enough. You better eat the rest of
that. Everything on that plate. You better eat the rest of it because it's not going away. He's like, but I'm full. And they're like, well, I told you, I put what you needed on your plate. And if you wanted more, then you could have went back and got it. But since you put that much on, you're eating it all.
Right.
Well, Nebraska, you put too much food on your plate. Sorry to be you. Tonight, Ed, switching to pros and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Ed Cole, former media director for digital director for the Washington football team, Inside Sports, sports personality here in Phoenix and just about everywhere. We got Atlanta. And we got Carolina. We got Matty Ice versus Teddy Two Gloves. Who you got tonight?
Oh, gosh. I got to go with Carolina. I mean, the Falcons are an absolute dumpster fire of a football team. And again, we saw it this past Sunday against Detroit, how Todd Gurley can not avoid scoring with a minute four left when his quarterback told him to lay down and not score because we need to run the clock down to kick a field goal to put this out of reach. But, no, he scores a touchdown. That lets Matthew Stafford and his guys go almost 80 yards for a game-winning score. Just another in a line of horrific losses for the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm going with Teddy and the Panthers tonight. I just think the Falcons are just oh, my gosh. I think they're falling to 1-7 tonight.
I've got a more important question for you than that. Why does Teddy Bridgewater wear two gloves? Why is Teddy Two Gloves wearing two gloves? Just out of, you know the answer to that?
No, I don't know the answer. Is it for better grip or what, why is he doing that?
I don't know. That's Teddy Two Gloves. I'm trying to figure it out. I thought maybe you knew the answer.
No, I would think if anything, that's possibly what it is, so he can maybe get a tighter grip on the football. For throwing purposes, and you know, for hiking and being able to hold the ball, that'd be the only reason I think that's why he's got two gloves on.
All right, that's what I call him.
And
extra
protection, I guess, right?
All right, Teddy Two Gloves, bro.
Yeah,
Teddy Two Gloves.
So you're going with Kellen.
There you go. And it's an outdoor game, so yeah, I'm with you. I'm sliding with Carolina, although they're only a point and a half favorite. I'm still going to slide with them. And then I promised I'd leave it alone, but I guess I lied. The Cardinals look real good going into a bye week. Unlike other bye weeks where everyone can go out, vacation, have fun, protocol says you stay in town where you are, you go get tested every day. But Ed, in a couple minutes, please tell everyone what you've been saying, what I've been saying, what a good friend of ours from KSRN, Earl Burnett, has been saying. Kyler Murray is a problem for the NFL. This kid has been playing lights out.
Yes. Ever since that he didn't have the best numbers-wise game against the Dallas Cowboys, only completed 9 passes, didn't have the best game against the Carolina Panthers. But, of course, that's growth. That's a young man in the second year that's going to continue to grow. He's going to have his share of ups and downs. Of course, even the longest seasoned veterans have those kind of ups and downs. But Kyler Murray is coming into his own. I was so impressed by the way he rallied his football team, considering the Seattle Seahawks did whatever they wanted in that first half. Russell and the Seahawks did absolutely everything they wanted. They were down by 10. Their defense came back, the Cardinals, and pretty much kept the Seahawks in check, and that allowed Kyler Murray to come back and get all of his weapons together. And I just love the way that young man plays football. He is coming. He is growing right before our very eyes. And for the fact that they knocked off the Seattle Seahawks, a team that's used to playing in those one possession situation kind of games, Paul, they were 4-0 in those kind of games coming into last Sunday night's game in Glendale. So they were used to this. This is something that's not new to the Seattle Seahawks. And for the fact that the Cardinals were able to outlast – and rally back and beat the Seattle Seahawks in one of the craziest games of this rivalry just says a lot about what Cliff Kingsbury is doing with the Cardinals in a year and a half. He's already won more games, the same amount of games that he won last year, and they're 5-2, a half game behind Seattle, the bye week, like you said. Let's hope all these young men stay safe and they don't get in any trouble as far as COVID and don't get in any trouble and bring back anything that could jeopardize them coming from Buffalo next Sunday. But, yeah, 5-2, they're a half game behind Seattle. What a tremendous victory for Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals.
You know, it's amazing because back in the old days when you told a player you got a bye week, don't come back with nothing, you didn't mean the COVID. And now that's exactly what you mean.
Don't come back with nothing.
Don't come back with nothing. Two quick things. We got 45 seconds. Real quick, if you could talk on this. One, Buda Baker, phenomenal. He got hawked. That's okay, though, but he's a phenomenal. But how good did you feel for Isaiah Simmons getting that interception considering all the heat he's taken this year?
Yeah, one, I love Buda Baker on that 90-yard interception. Yeah, Russell had Chris Carson pretty much dead to rights as far as that touchdown, but Buda jumps in front of that, jumps the route. And, of course, DK Metcalf, I mean, you got to give the young man props for being able to hawk down Buda Baker on that 90-yard touchdown run. But Buda Baker, 14 tackles, the young man is a baller, all pro. And Isaiah getting that pick in overtime, which led to the Cardinals. Zane Gonzalez kicking that game-winning field goal. Yes, I love the young man jumping that route and being able to read Russell Wilson's eyes. And what a great play by him. The biggest play he's done, of course, in his first seven games as a rookie for the Cardinals. Love his effort on that interception.
Ed, where does Zane go to college, just out of curiosity?
He went to Tempe. He's a Sun Devil.
I'm a Sun Devil, man. Okay, so we literally got 20 seconds before we have to start to get out of here. Pro Bowl's going to come around, and you got to give me an answer quick. You can only have three Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Who do you leave off? Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, or Russell Wilson? One has to get left off.
I think, unfortunately, it might have to be Kyler. It might just have to be the veterans that get the step right now, but that doesn't mean that Kyler won't get it in the future.
Tell everyone where they get hold of you, Ed.
Twitter at EdCole43, Instagram at EdwardCole301. Appreciate you having me on, brother.
Ed, you did it again. What's going on tonight? What went on
Inside
Tuesday
Sports
night?
Talk.
What's
Inside
happening
Sports
tonight?
Talk. We're talking World Series tonight. Oh. Inside Sports, we're talking World Series tonight.
I can make a living off of this, throwing them up to you. I can make a living off this. They should get me in the league.
I got to leave something for you to do.
Man, you already got me putting vaccine over my whole body. So what more do you want?
Yeah, Tony
La Russa.
Tony La Russa, more back teams.
Here we go again. At the Sports Cave on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the Facebook, Caves with a K, sportscave.com, Cave is with a K. Get me on the Twitter as well at PLR on Sports. And thank you to Maduro's. Thanks to Ron and his crew for hosting us every Thursday. And Ed, thank you for coming on with us. Truly, truly appreciate you spending time. It's
absolutely
always fun, just like the old days. So for Ed Cole, this is PLR. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Until tomorrow, you know what we say here? Temptations, bring us home.